But where do these blessings go? Where do these blessings go? Jeffrey, could you help me with the slides, please? Where do these blessings go? The Bible says that all peoples on earth will be blessed through us. All peoples on earth will be blessed through us. The word peoples in the Greek word is the word ta ethne. The word ta ethne really means ethnic groups, language groups, tribes, tongues. And Genesis says that I will bless you and I will make you into a great nation. And all peoples, all tribes, all language groups, every people group on earth will be blessed through you. So look at Pakistan. Pakistan geographically is one nation. But really, biblically, Pakistan is many nations. Because every culture, every people group is just different from each other. The Punjabis are very different from the Pashtuns. And they're culturally distinct and they speak a different language. But guess, let's say if the gospel breaks out among the Punjabi speaking community. And because they speak a very distinct language and share a very distinct culture, the gospel only stays among the Punjabis. The rest of the communities will never get a chance to hear the gospel. But the Bible says, all peoples on earth will be blessed through us. Every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every people group will be blessed through us. This includes the tribals, the Hindus, the unreligious, the Muslims, the Buddhists. All you have to remember is your thumb. The tribals, the Hindus, the unreligious, the Muslims, and the Buddhists. And they represent 3.1 billion of the world's population who are yet to hear the name of Jesus. Many of them are Muslims. This is Atun, and Atun is from Indonesia, and she is a Maduri. Maduri is one of the least unreached people groups on the Joshua Project list. And she was our part-time cleaner with our ministry in Malaysia. And often we would have conversations about Jesus, you know, but being a Maduri, they would always say, I'm born a Maduri, I will die a Maduri, and I'll die a Muslim. And no matter how much we tried to share the gospel, she never responded to the gospel. Well, she is one of the 3 billion people who are yet to hear the name of Jesus. There are many people out there who are yet to hear the name of Jesus. In fact, Atun is called an unreached people group. These non-Christians need Christians from other cultures to learn their language and to tell them about Jesus. Many. If you look at the chart, you realize the majority of the world are unreached. Many of these people groups from India and China and Bangladesh and Pakistan have never heard the name of Jesus. Even if they wanted to hear, to know Jesus, they could never walk into a church. They could never walk into a church. And that's the reality back home in many of these countries. Laos used to be a communist country until 1991. And now they are a socialist republic. And every year we would have teams go and visit Laos to place the Jesus film into letterbox, into mailboxes. in the Laotian language so they would hear about Jesus, because the gospel is restricted in their country. There's no way you could do evangelism in Laos. And every year we would have 4 or 5 teams going into Laos to share the love of Christ. And that's the reality of what it is outside of the U.S. We will dive into the scriptures this morning and look at what the Bible says about missions and God's heartbeat for the nations. When I was growing up in church, at the benediction, my pastor would say, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us." And everybody says, "Amen." But my pastor never read the second verse. We just stopped at the first part of the verse. Top line, top line, top line. God wants to bless us. He is gracious to us. And He wants to make His face shine upon us. And we stop right there. The second part of the verse actually says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations." But we often stop at the first part of the verse. We don't read the second part of the verse. God wants to bless us. He wants to pour His blessings upon us. He's given us eternal life. For what? For one reason. That one reason is that so that His ways may be known on earth and His salvation among all nations. Friends, it's not about us. The blessings is not about our lives. It's not about us. It's God wants to bless us so we would turn around and be a blessing to the nations. It's all about Him. It's all about His glory. It's all about His fame. And we continue on to read Psalm 67, and it says, "May all peoples praise you. May all the nations be glad and sing for joy. May all the peoples praise you." And the land will yield its harvest, and God our God will bless us. Top line, top line, top line. God wants to bless us. Top line, top line, top line. And all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. All the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Friends, God wants to bless us. It is His desire to bless us. It is His desire to prosper us. But with these blessings, God wants us to be a blessing to the nations. God wants us to be a blessing to the nations. That's the bottom line. In fact, all nations fills the Old Testament in the Bible. Look at 1 Chronicles says, "Sing to the Lord all the earth. Declare His glory among the nations. Declare His glory among people from every tongue and tribe and nation. And His marvelous deeds among all nations." Then we read in Psalm 72, says, "All things will bow down to Him and all nations will worship Him." And we look at Daniel chapter 7, and it says, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into His presence, and He was given authority and all glory and sovereign power. And on all peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped Him." Isn't that amazing, friends? And the Bible says from Genesis to Revelation, you know, that it is God's desire for people from every tongue and tribe and nation worship Him. God gets the greatest glory ever from mankind when people from every tongue and tribe and nation worship Him. Then we read in Malachi, "My name will be great among the nations. My name will be great among people from every tongue and tribe and nation. From the rising to the setting of the sun, in every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord." The Old Testament is filled with God's heart to reach the nations. The Mokan tribe are sea gypsies. And back in 2004, they knew that something was wrong with the ocean. They had heard stories from their grandparents about a tsunami that had happened like 100 years ago. And that day, and they knew that something was wrong with the ocean, they fled up to the mountains. And that day, a tsunami happened in Asia, and 275,000 people died. 275,000 people died in 14 countries. But God preserved the Mokan tribe. Now, just to give you a little context of the Mokans, they are sea gypsies, and they believe in animism. They worship the sun, the moon, the stars, the ocean. You know, they are basically an oral community. And they had never heard the name of Jesus. There's no known Christians among the community. They're totally unreached and secluded from most communities. And they were stateless as well. And that day when they fled up to the mountains, God preserved this community. And we had the privilege of working with this community for 1 year. And we rebuilt homes and did a lot of community work, you know, brought in education to the community and loved the community. And after 1 year, they came to us and said, "Hey, you guys are different. There's something, you have so much joy and love for our community. What do you have? Why are you so joyful? Why are you so happy? Why do you love us so much?" And that gave us the chance, the opportunity to celebrate and to share about Jesus, and we presented as a kid, and that night there were 300 people, Mokan tribe. They were listening and watching us present to this kid, and we gave an altar call and said, "Hey, you know," and we shared about Jesus, how Jesus died on the cross. We gave an altar call. That day, that night, 80% gave their lives to Jesus. 80%. Friends, this has never happened in the history of the Mokan tribe, in the history of missions. And all we did was a short-term team that went in. We had 12 or 15 teams that went in for the 12 months and showed love and God's love for the community. And they responded to the gospel because they saw the love of Jesus in this short term. And just because we went in obedience, they responded to the gospel. Friends, you never know. Sometimes you just have to go in obedience. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Go and be a blessing to the nations. And because they went in obedience, today, fast forward 14, 18 years later, we have students who have graduated from college. You know, that's foreign to the Mokan community, and two or three of these graduates have come back and said, "Hey, we want to be missionaries to our own community." So today we have the Mokan tribe who are missionaries, who are preaching the gospel in their own heart language and discipling their own people. Isn't that amazing? And that only could only happen because God has blessed us, He's given us eternal life, and in obedience to God's heartbeat for the nations, they went and they were a blessing to the Mokan tribe. And today there are three churches among the Mokan people. Isn't that amazing? And let's look at the Great Commission in the New Testament. Now, Matthew 28:18, we know this scripture. And to just give you a context to what to Matthew 28:18, Jesus was about to ascend to heaven. And he visited his disciples, and he was going to say goodbye. But before he said goodbye, he gave them a little envelope. The disciples opened this, and it says, "Make sure everyone on planet Earth knows about me. This is your mission in life." Can you imagine? This was his parting words. He was about to ascend to heaven, and he was giving his most important parting words. And we look at Matthew 28:18, it says, you know, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of age." You know, and he was giving his parting words to his disciples. He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." That must be a very important message to Jesus. He was going to go to his Father, and he was leaving a very important message for his disciples. And we are his disciples. We are his disciples. And it's all about the glory of God. And God wants us to go and make disciples of all nations. The word nations again is the word ta ethne, meaning in Greek, ethnic groups, people groups. Now, I grew up reading Matthew 24:14, and I grew up in a church very similar to the Mennonite church. Every Sundays, my pastor would preach about holiness and sanctification and the end times. In the 80s, there were a lot of earthquakes. And in Revelations, we read some of the signs of the end days, earthquakes, and you know, I thought Jesus was going to come back really soon, because my pastor would preach and say, "Hey, Jesus is coming really soon, you know, let's prepare ourselves, you know, he's coming really soon. Let's be a bride to Jesus." And so I thought that Jesus was going to come like every other week, because my pastor would say that Jesus is coming soon. These are the signs at the end days, you know. So then I read Matthew 24:14, I realized, you know, after much, after I went to mission school, I realized, you know, when the word says, you know, the gospel of this kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testament to all nations, and then the end will come. Then I realized that, you know, I thought I was sitting for exams, and I say, "Oh, Jesus, please, you need to come back soon before my exams." You know, I always thought Jesus was going to come back really soon, and I was always hoping that Jesus would return right before my exams. But then I went to mission school, and I read the scripture, and I understood that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all tribes, language groups, people groups, and ethnic groups, and then the end will come. And right now, we have about 6,000 plus unreached people groups with no access to the gospel. So then I realized, oh, okay, Jesus is not going to come anytime soon until people from every tongue and tribe and nation have heard the name of Jesus. And God is working. I mean, I can tell you stories of how, you know, God is working around the nations. These are international students studying at University of Arkansas, and there are about 100 students from 107 countries studying at the University of Arkansas, and 90% of these students are considered unreached. They come from countries where they have no access to the gospel. They are unreached. They have no there are restrictions. And they could never walk into a church. They come from countries like China and Bangladesh and Pakistan, you know, and India, and Shankar, my son, one evening he came back and he said, "Dad, you know, I was talking to this couple and they had never held the Bible in their lives. It was their first time holding a Bible and reading a Bible passage. Can you imagine? This could never happen in your home countries. But because they were in the States and it was a student ministry in Arkansas, many of these students are getting the opportunity to hear the name of Jesus. And God is bringing the nations to our doorstep. God is bringing the nations to our doorstep. You know, those are the days when you pack your bags and you leave the country and reach the unreached. But today, God is bringing the nations to us. And these are groups of refugees in Malaysia, and they are Rohingya people, if you know the Rohingya people in Myanmar, and they are persecuted by their own community. They are strong Muslims. And these are Afghani students, and they're called the Hazara people. The Hazara people is the number one most persecuted ethnic group in the world. In the world. Number one most persecuted ethnic group in the world. And you know how Taliban took over Afghanistan in August 2021. And many of these Afghanis fled their country to Malaysia. And we've had the opportunity, my family and I have had the opportunity of connecting with these precious students and, you know, teaching them and being friends with them, you know. And this year we had the privilege of sharing about Jesus during Easter. And today, you know, some of these students are going to church in Malaysia. Now, friends, back home, back in Afghanistan, they will never have the chance of walking into a church because there is no church. There's no visible church in Afghanistan. But today, because of the dispersion, because of this dispersion and because they were in Malaysia, they've had the opportunity of hearing the name of Jesus. And today, there are few known Christians among the Afghanis, among the Hazara people. Like I said, the Hazara people are the most persecuted by their own government. But God dispersed this nation to other nations. And today they have had the privilege of hearing the name of Jesus. And there are many of them here in the U.S. In Fayetteville, I met a Yemeni man who fled his country. And today he's in the States. And there are 20,000 Yemeni refugees in the U.S. who are yet to hear the name of Jesus. Friends, we don't need to pack our bags and leave the country. God, the nations is right in our doorsteps, right here in Fayetteville, or in Sturgis, or in Shipshiwana. You know, all you have to do is just drive 1 mile down the road and visit them. They would never walk into a church, but we could go to them. We could bring church to these communities. We could bring church to these communities. And let's go to the conclusion in the Bible this morning. And the conclusion is found in Revelations. You know, and to just give you a context on Revelations 5:9, this song was being sung by the elders, and it was a very important song. And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe, every language, people, and nation." And friends, this is a glimpse of what heaven is going to look like. This is a glimpse of what heaven is going to look like. People from every tongue and tribe and language and nation worshiping God. And this is what the Bible says, that every language group, every tribe will worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God would get the greatest glory He could get from mankind when we worship Him. It brings pleasure to God to see people from every language group worshiping Him. And then I looked and behold, and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And they sang, salvation belongs to our Lord. Salvation belongs to our God. The angels were rejoicing. There was celebration in heaven because people from every tongue and tribe and nation were worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God was getting the pleasure of people, His creation, worshiping Him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. It's all about His glory. And God wants to bless us, and He will continue to bless us. But with these blessings, God wants us to be a blessing to the nations. Life is not about us. It's all about His glory, His fame. And that's what Wayan did. He continued on to plant churches. He continued on to disciple. You know, and he continued on to share the love of Christ, because he knew the purpose of existence is to bring God the greatest glory God could ever get from us. It's all about Him. It's all about His glory, His pleasure. It's not about us. And God will continue to bless us. And with these blessings, let's continue to be a blessing to the nations. Will you obey the call of God in your lives? What is God saying to you this morning? What is God stirring in your hearts this morning? Will you pray for the unreached? Some of us are called to go to the nations, or to a different nation. But, you know, all of us can pray. We don't have to pack our bags to go and pray. We can pray at home. We could pray on Sundays, you know, in a Sunday worship service for the unreached. And when we pray, a breakthrough happens. A breakthrough happens among the unreached. And all we have to do is just go in obedience and pray. And giving brings glory to God, because you played your role in God's global purpose in redeeming the nations, people from every tongue and tribe, to God. And God gave the greatest worship ever because of your giving. And will you go? Some of us are called to go to the nations. But God is also bringing the nations to our doorsteps. And we can, sometimes our going is just 3 miles down the road. Just 3 miles down the road, and we'll get to be a blessing to someone. We'll get to bring the church to a community. You know, and there were some of our friends here would never walk into a church. But you could bring the church, the love of God, to these communities. Romans 10 says, how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Hallelujah. Friends, I'd like you to think and reflect on the Word of God this morning. What is the Lord speaking to you? What is the Holy Spirit stirring your hearts this morning? The word of the Lord stands. I will bless you. I will make your name great. you will be a blessing to the nations, and people from every tongue, tribe, and nation will be blessed through you. Amen. Thank you.
We've been reminded, we've been challenged, I've been blessed. I think it's exciting to think about this Back to Jerusalem movement, and oh, we've seen the gospel move around the world. There's just a little bit to go. Well, there's 3 billion to go. The job's not done. There's still work to be done. We've got a lot of equipment, a lot of technology, a lot of resources. It could be done in this generation. It can be. The church has been given so much, but there's still some work to do. So what's God saying to us? How are we at Calvary Chapel going to respond? How are we individually going to respond? Thank you, Peter, for sharing. Thank you for bringing your passion and your heart here.